is your chance. Get up, get out of your seat, go across the aisle, shake hands. This brings us so much joy, and it's such a pleasant reminder of how much we need our Christian family. Amen? Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. My name is Rachel Harris, and I have the privilege of being your host here at 98 Campus 11 o'clock service. We want to let you guys know this is a judgment-free space. We want everybody to be yourself just the way that you came today, no matter what kind of day you might be having, good or bad. And if you're not feeling too great today, you are in the right place for that. You are in the house of the Lord, and He accepts you as you are. And so we also want to say, if you're here with us for the first time, we're so glad that you came to visit. And if you take a look inside of your worship folder this morning, you're going to see this little connection card. If you could pull this out. We would just love to hear from you. We believe God brought you here this morning for a reason. He got you up and He got you out of bed and He said, you are going to church today. And so we want to honor that. And our way of doing that is to get to know you. So anything you feel comfortable sharing, your name, where you're from, if you have any special reasons for visiting, you can write those on the bottom, on the backside there. And if you're here regularly, just your name at the top is fine, unless there's something else you want to share with us. And we also invite you to worship in whatever way is best for you. If you want to stay seated during the service, that is fine. If you would like to stand with us when we worship, please do. You can raise your hands to praise God. Just be yourself. So we currently are in a new sermon series that we kicked off last week called Sent Disciple. And today we are sharing a message on what it means to be a vibrant follower of Christ. But before we get started, let's pray over today's message as we invite God into our worship. Almighty God, remind us that surrendering our will to you is strength. It's not weakness. And so even when the road ahead seems clouded in mystery, just let your hand guide us to living a Christ-centered life. And as we navigate each day, just keep our hearts anchored in you, not our to-do list. Call us back to a place of humble submission with the courage to say, not my will, Father, but yours be done in my life. And let us always be ready to just be called to action for your glory. In the loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we all pray. Amen. And before we begin our worship, I just want to say good morning also to those of you who may be watching on YouTube or on our website. And if you will go down to the comments and tell us where you're watching from, we just love to hear from everybody. If you want to go to our homepage at hopeonthebeach.com, you can find this worship folder with today's notes so you can fill in the blank as we go along. And if you click share, you can help us spread the gospel with that simple gesture. And Sam is going to lead us in our worship.
You guys stand with us this morning. I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. He's with me in the valley. He's with me in the fire. He's with me in the flood. Let all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not alone, God really loves His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, and this is our home. The cross, it is spoken. Death is no more. Christ is Lord. Oh, this is our home. Let all my life testify. Hallelujah. We are not. Give him a hand this morning. God, we thank you that that you do love us, Lord, and that you long to walk this life with us, Lord. God, we thank you that you're intimately involved. Thank you. when oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest water. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, oh, you never fail. Lord, you won't stop now. And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the wave. When oceans arise, so we'll rest in your embrace. I am yours, you are mine. Oh, 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 oh. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever upon your name. And keep my eyes above the wave. When oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be embraced by you and to be taken deeper by you. So we thank you for being in this place, inhabiting our praise, and we ask you to speak to our hearts. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see you this morning. My name is Steve. I am the director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach Church. And as you saw, I'm sometimes forgetful as I got halfway up here and left my Bible sitting on the chair. So I went back and got that. All is well. Good to see you this morning and good to have you here. I want to ask you a question. It's just a think to yourself question. You don't have to answer out loud. I realize some of you struggle with, borders and things like that. So just ask yourself this question and be honest. When you hear disciple or discipleship, does that scare you? Does it conjure up things in your mind of denying pleasures of life and memorizing stuff and just all these disciplines in our life? Does it create a scary picture to you when we hear about discipleship? I had a conversation this week and someone said, I think as we get older, we don't really have time for all of that. Now, I wasn't sure what all of that meant. But I'm thinking, I don't think you mean what you're saying. Because discipleship is about following Jesus. And I would think, as I get older and I get closer to heaven, I would think I'd like to be closer to Jesus before I go in. Wouldn't you? I don't want to be miles from him and have to introduce myself. Hi, we met once when I was 9. And I really appreciate you forgiving my sin. No, I want deeper than that. I want an embrace. I want a hug. I want a, Jesus, it's so good to see you. And I want to hear back, it's good to see you, Steve. I want to hear, my Jesus knows me. And so I wouldn't think that being a deeper follower of him would have an age limit on it. And I don't think that it has a requirement that is too heavy. What did Jesus say? He said, My yoke is light. It's easy. So why would be afraid of it? But I think when we hear about sent disciple and we hear about being a called disciple, sometimes we can shy away from that because it calls for commitment way more than we're willing to give. Well, for the next several weeks, we're going to look a little deeper into what a called disciple looks like. And I hope it will help relax you and not scare you, but excite you. I hope it will draw you closer to wanting to be a vibrant follower, someone that is totally committed to following Jesus. But there are some questions that have to be answered in our life. The story I want to use today is out of Matthew chapter 19. It's a very familiar passage. A young man approaches Jesus, who I would imagine he considers to be one of the leading rabbis. And so he wants to ask a question of the rabbi. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 19. It says, "And behold, a man came up to him," that is Jesus, "saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who's good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?'" Man after our own heart, right? Can I just get the minimum here? Is there, what, do you have a favorite you think I ought to follow? Just, can I just get the highlights here? And Jesus answers him with a whole list. He says, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He gave him a whole list of the commandments. And this guy's heart jumped in his chest. He said, "All these I have kept." Hands in the air. "I'm in. I'm good. I do those things." But then he wants to be sure. Sometimes he doesn't want to be too overconfident. So he asks one more question. "All these I've kept, what do I still lack? Am I missing something? Is there more? I just want to know." I have done, through my ministry, thousands of funerals. Many of them, I did not know the deceased. But nearly every single time, a family member will sit beside me and say, "Do you think Mom's in heaven?" And I would have to say, "Well, I didn't know your mom real well, or didn't know her at all. What do you think?" "Oh, if anybody's in heaven, Mom's in heaven." So you know right away, she's comparing Mom to everybody else she's ever known, and Mom was the best. Mom did all the good stuff. Mom was a sweetheart. Mom had lots of friends. Mom made the best bread. Whatever. And so I would say to them, "Well, what makes you think she's in heaven?" And they give me that litany of all the good stuff. But it broke my heart every time I listened to their story and never heard the name Jesus. Never heard it. That wasn't one of the reasons. For so many families, that's not one of the reasons they think they're in heaven. And this young man was looking for the magic. Point number one, the world looks for one good thing to do for eternal life. Give me that one good thing. He's asking the rabbi, "What's the key? What's the tick? What can I do?" Philippian jailer asked the same thing. What do I have to do to be saved? Remember, and the boy said, you got to come to Jesus. You got to believe. This man's saying, what can I do? What good thing? But here's point A. The problem is we are incapable of doing good. Now, incapable was chosen carefully because it communicates the fact that we absolutely cannot be good enough. It's not in our ability. Oh, we can do good things. We can have great intentions. We can be kind to our neighbor. We can do all sorts of good things, but we can't be good enough to defeat the sin in our life. Only Christ's blood can do that. And so we have to realize we can't do good. We can't be good enough. This young man was looking for something he could do, and he had to realize what Romans 3 tells us. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So if you think you even know one, I know that person, and they're the best person I know. But the Bible says, not good enough. There's not one. No, not one. We can't be good enough. So he goes on to tell the young man what else is required. He says, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Now, when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He said no. He went away. He couldn't do it. He thought Jesus was asking too much. He was good with obeying the commandments. He was good with doing things in his flesh. But when Jesus said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me, he decided that was too much. You see, Jesus asks, demands, requires that we love nothing more than we love Him. We love nothing more than Jesus. Now, you've got to ask yourself that question. You've got to look in the mirror. You've got to take a gut check today. Do I have something between me and Christ? We heard Pastor. Well, first, let me say this. Let me make a point here. I've heard lots of preachers preach on this passage, and they always turn it into a sermon against possessions. There was a period in the 70s where preachers were telling folks to throw their TVs away. And folks were taking TV out of their house. And I'm thinking, I like my TV. I'm not getting rid of my TV. And my pastor in a staff meeting one day said, how many of you guys got rid of your TVs? A few hands went up. Mine didn't. And he said, so you're not going to throw your TV away? I said, you know, preacher, I have self-control. I don't have to throw my TV away to not watch whatever I'm not supposed to watch. I don't have to throw it away so that I don't spend time watching it when I ought to be reading the Word. I got this. No, I'm not throwing away my TV. My Cardinals play on TV. My Chiefs play on TV. No, I'm not throwing away my TV. This lesson Jesus is giving this young man was never about the possessions. And I want you to get this, because it's the crux of the whole thing. It was about the man's heart. Not about what he had. Wasn't about get rid of your stuff. It was about your heart. We heard the pastor, I think it was just last week maybe, or week before, talking about his love for fishing. And how there were times when he got a little carried away with his love for fishing. And I know a period in my life when my sin was my golf. The clubs are in the trunk right now. They never leave me. Just in case, you never know when, you know, the urge hits. You drive by a golf course and it's yelling, come see me. You never know. It can happen. So, but I don't love my golf more than I love Jesus. I would never pass on some opportunity Christ gave me in order to go play golf. I would never do that. Pastor shared how he can still love to fish, but he doesn't love it more than Jesus. We've got some great stories, if you ever want to hear them, between him, which, by the way, if you don't know, he is a great fisherman. He knows his stuff. I, on the contrary, am not. I'm a city kid. I never went fishing. My grandpas didn't fish. My dad didn't fish. I didn't have an uncle that fished. I didn't have anybody around me who took me fishing. I never went. And so years ago, Pastor and I decided we were going to go fishing. He wanted me to experience it. We can still laugh about it. But this preacher caught a redfish. That's what we were after. And of course, the rookie gets the first one. Okay. I couldn't be pastor so he could show me how to get this done. All right. Those fish are wicked, man. They will take you all over the planet. Now, I grew up in St. Louis, taught my whole life not to stand up in a boat. You can't get a redfish if you're not standing up. And Pastor said, well, stand up, man. You're going to have to follow that thing. I'm like, do what? And so I'm all over the place letting this thing, it's going under the boat. It's going all over the place. Pastor's doing best to give me instruction, and I'm just doing good to hold on. Because the competitor in me kicks in, and I'm going to get this fish in this boat. I've got a picture of me holding that fish. I won with pastor's help, but I'm telling you, I had a nightmare. Needless to say, we haven't fished a lot since. Because it just wears him out to try to take care of me in a boat. I love to ride the boat. I go with him, but I don't have to try to catch another redfish. Got the picture, been there, done that. I'm good. There are things that we can get caught in loving, but it's not about the possessions. It's not about the hobby. It's not about the time spent or the money spent. It's about the love. It's about Christ being first. It's about not letting anything come between me and my King. That's what it is. And this young man was being taught that, but he couldn't give up. He loved his stuff too much. Here's what the Bible tells us in Matthew 6. Point number two, we must give up anything that keeps us from following Jesus. If it's keeping you from being a vibrant follower, you got to let it go. Or you at least got to cut it back to where it's not between you and Jesus anymore. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't do it. You can't have two kings in your life. You can't have two commitments in your life. See, this young man was trying to find a secret formula, when all along what Jesus was offering him was a relationship. The young man didn't need to follow the rules. The rules will get followed because of our relationship. When Judy and I got married, our wedding anniversary is May 19th. I want it recorded. It's on video that I know when it is. Thank you. Thank you. I did look it up last night. But when we got married, we didn't exchange a list of committed rules. Here's what I'm going to do. And here's the things you better never do. And here's the things you better never do. No. We entered into a relationship. And I have learned how to be the husband she can appreciate because of the relationship. I didn't read a book of rules. There's all kinds of marriage books out there, aren't there? All kinds of things trying to tell us how to get it right. Well, I can tell you that I think, my own opinion, she's not here to defend herself, but I think most of the time I'm a pretty good hubby. Key word, most of the time. There are times I'm not so good. And the reason I know that is because what I've learned about our relationship. I know what she needs. I know what she wants. I know who she wants me to be. I get that from our relationship, our give and take, our love for one another. I don't get it out of a book. When I'm messing up, she doesn't go run, get a book off the shelf, flip to page 58, hit this paragraph, and say, hey, bucko, right here. You better get this right. Step it up. It's not by a book. She'll say, you know what I need you to do? And usually that involves being quiet, for starters. And she shares with me. It's a relationship. We have a give and a take, and we're committed to each other. It's not about the rules. I follow the rules of being a married man because of my relationship with my wife. Not because I'm going for husband of the year. That ship sailed some time ago. But it's about a relationship and our following Jesus. Three. Following Jesus is a relationship, not a religion. It's not a practice of rules. It's not of always doing the right thing. It's not even not making a mistake. I make mistakes. I know you make mistakes. We're human. We make them. But in a relationship, we get past them. We talk about the mistake. We talk about how important it is to get it right. And we get it right. Following Jesus is a relationship. It's not a religion. Now, I want you to look at this graphic. You have it in your bulletin too, I think. Okay, so you can look up close or you can look up here, whatever you want to do. But you see, we're high spirit led. Some people love their religion to be spiritual, high spiritual. They like to go out under in the forest under a tree and just commune with nature and pray. Which is a side note, folks who don't believe in God, I'm not sure who they're praying to. And when I have people who are not believers ask me to pray for them, I always bite my lip because I want to say, to who? You don't believe my God. So who are we praying to? Because I only pray to mine. But some people like a spiritual feel. They like to feel like they're close to God spiritually, but they haven't based it on any truth. Moving to your right, they're high spirit, but they're low on truth. They don't know what the Bible says. And so oftentimes that kind of combination leads to misleadings. I can begin to think that God's telling me to do all kinds of things because I don't have any truth to base it on. Some wacko thought that the Spirit told him to kill John Lennon. I don't think so. Some of you may want to Google John Lennon, but he was, you know, part of the Beatles who was before the Wings. Never mind. High spirit, low truth. Not a good place to be. Kind of relying on my own feelings. Well, then if we keep working our way around, the worst place to be, I think, is to be low on truth and low on spirit led. I may not even be spiritually awake. In that quadrant, I may not even be awakened yet, because I've got no truth and I've got no spirit. But it gets better if I keep working my way around. I could still be low in spirit, but I can begin to get high in truth. I can begin to take the book in. I can begin to hear God's word speak to me. And as the word speaks to me, the spirit can begin to speak to me. And I begin to grow in a relationship with the Lord by getting high on truth, by getting a deep understanding of God's word. And the best place to be, the vibrant follower wants to have a deep truth and be spirit-led. We want to be in God's word, and we want to be led by His Spirit. That's a vibrant follower. That's someone who's plugged in, learning what Jesus has for me in His word, and hearing what Jesus has as He speaks to me. Point four is we grow in relationship through Scripture and prayer. Scripture and prayer. If you want to get closer to Christ, get deeper in His word. Take time to hear from Him in prayer. You know, we're very good at praying for things. We always think about going to the Lord in prayer when we need something. Or when somebody we love needs help, we can ask God for things. But you know, prayer is a two-way street. Prayer is also about hearing from the Lord. Taking time to hear what He has for us. And through prayer and Scripture, my relationship with the Lord grows. And as I grow, I learn how He wants me to live. I learn what He wants from my life. I can learn through Scripture, through prayer. I grow in relationship through communion that we're going to have in just a minute. I just have ways to come closer and closer to Christ, to be a vibrant follower of Christ. Point five is this. We must be Spirit-led. We must be Spirit-led. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us through our life. We can't know God's will without knowing God's Spirit, God's truth in His Word. Because let me give you a clue. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do anything contrary to the Word. We need to know the Word so we can recognize God's leading. They go together. Here's what Galatians 5 tells us. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 is our memory verse. Let's read it together. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Sounds simple, doesn't it? We just live by the Spirit. We stay in step with the Spirit. But it's a little more difficult than it sounds. Because like the rich young ruler, we have lots of other things pulling for our attention. We have lots of things of this earth that draw our attention, grab our affection, fight for our attention. And we need to learn how to put those aside so that nothing comes between us and Christ. That's a vibrant follower. Nothing gets between us and the Lord. In your bulletin, we've already called your attention to the connection card. I want to call your attention to the back of the card. And I want you to see that the second block talks about, I want to commit to a called disciple huddle. Here's what we're asking you to do. We would like for all folks who call Hope home to get through a huddle, a called disciple huddle. This is an hour a week with me in groups of 6 to 8. If you just say, yeah, I'll do it, and you mark one of these times, we'll try to get you in those times. We're going to offer other times. This is going to be much of what I do, is helping folks understand what a disciple looks like. So it doesn't scare you. It's not something you run from. But rather, we hope that as you come to understand it, that it's a deeper relationship with Christ, it'll be something you run to. You can't wait to go deeper with the Lord. That's our goal. It's only going to be six times together for just 1 hour. But the question will be, can you give that up for the Lord? Do you love Him enough to go deeper? Can you find time to go deeper? Are you willing to go deeper? If so, then, yeah, I want to do a huddle. It may not be these first offerings. Maybe you need to do it later. But at least tell us you're willing. We'll work out the timing. I'll be in touch. We can make it work. We're going to try to hold them to 6 or 8 folk in a group. We can even do them one-on-one. We can do them any way that you can do them. If you've got 3 or 4 or 6 folk that you love their company, and you say to them, hey, let's learn how to be a disciple together. Would you do that with me? We're going to get Steve to come over and we're going to do this. It's something that you will have for the rest of your life. And it will answer all the hesitations that you may have. And we would love to build a church full of folk who understand what it means to be a called disciple. And we're going to do it together in these huddles. So I wanted to call your attention to that. I'd love to have you check that one of those boxes. Even if you can't be at one of those particular times, but just check a box and say another time. We'll get you. We'll get you. I really believe these are going to be sweet times of fellowship, deep relationship with the Lord. We're going to learn to go deep with Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the call you've put upon our life. We thank you for the love that you have extended to us, the sacrifice you have made for us, the grace you offer us. And Father, we want to return that love and affection with our own willingness to be a vibrant follower. We want to be all that you want us to be. Move on our hearts this morning, Lord. May we commit to follow you deeper. In Jesus' name. Let's pray as we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Just help us to never take for granted this huge gift of love that you have given to us on our behalf, and just remind us of the cost of it all, that by your wounds we are healed. Give us not just willing spirits, but give us eager spirits to follow and to honor you. Amen. Inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you'd like to give today, you can place your offering in here. There are several ways to give in your folder, outlined in your folder, rather, including our text to give number and also at hopeonthebeach.com, so you can choose the best way. But it shows our commitment to follow him by abiding his commands, and it does honor him as well. If you flip over your connection card that you filled out earlier this morning, you'll see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. So if he has moved you today, check that box. We have a QR code you can scan here for more information, and we'd love to pray with you and to celebrate this with you. We have some ways for you to grow in your personal relationship with Jesus. I'd like to point out this card everybody should have in their worship folder. So we have the opportunity to bless foster children. Guardium Ad Litem is having a summer camp for foster children. So you'll see here some ways that we can bless children, foster children, at their summer camp this year. And if you take a look at the back of your worship folder, you're going to see all the Hope happenings and the things that we have up and coming. Our youth groups meet on Wednesday. Our Women of Hope are getting together on Thursday for a pasta making session. How cool is that? I've never made pasta before. That is cool. And so we'd love for you to stay in touch with us here. And at this time, if you would like to take your offering envelope and your connection card, you can put them in the plates on your respective side, and we're going to continue our worship.
Flowers and all of their beauty. Don't have to wonder what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time, the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it.
I invite you to rise as we draw our hearts near to Him in a time of confession. You know that graft that was put up there, if you can kind of visualize that graft in your head right now. And, you know, it's not like we move around the clock, but I think the spiritual walk is pretty zigzaggy. I mean, you can find yourself one day in this quadrant being really like you're just kind of in this spiritual mode and you haven't had time. You've been running so hard. You haven't been like, you've just been running on hopefully the Spirit, but maybe it's more you and no word. There's other times, man, you just got parts of your life you're just dead. And other times you're like, man, I'm walking with God and really close and I feel His presence and what He's leading and guiding me. And then there's other times, man, we just get so heavy on truth, we just become real religious and critical. And so I bet you can say, man, I find myself in all those different places at times. And so what we want to do now is just go to God and say, God, let's grow us in this relationship to just be more Spirit-led and in Your truth. So let's go. Lord, we thank You for this relationship that You've given us a place to belong. I mean, You brought us into this family. You called us. You adopted us through the waters of baptism. You've given us the grace. You've given us faith. You give us more than we need. And to show Your love over and over again, You've proven to us Your love, that You're trustworthy. I mean, and You prove Your love again to us by You gave Your Son. So look, this is the great love. That You know that You truly belong. And God, You've also called us not just to belong, but to become Your follower. And Lord, we confess that we're messy followers. And we got dead places in our heart. We got places where we're just probably just really religious on and get critical and judgmental. And we got other places, Lord, that, man, there's no truth there. We're just all going by feeling or religious memory. I think You said something like this. And so, Father, we pray as You continue in this relationship with You, as we in this, where we belong in You and Your family, that You grow us in Your love, and that love is Spirit and truth. In fact, You seek worshipers who worship You in Spirit and truth. And so, Father, mold us, shape us into that. Give us those desires. Change our hearts. Make us aware that, Lord, whenever we're running on us, that we run to You. Whenever we're getting like Pharisee, that we humble our hearts and soften it. And so, Lord, we confess we just fall short and need You. That is your confession, and it's by virtue of my office as a called ordained servant and that I get to announce unto you on God's behalf that all your sins are forgiven, paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are no more. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He continues to grow us and show us His love through His meal and through His gifts of grace. In His meal of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we receive bread and wine, body and blood, both to nourish us and strengthen us into one true faith. So our Lord Jesus.